And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory, and I'm Brad Lyons.
And I am Brad Blazek.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You're hitting that intro hard. Woo. I'm all like laid back in my chair. Hey, what's up? Single Podcast Theory. And you're like, I'm Brad Blazek. You're like that Will Ferrell skit, the voice of modulation.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I don't know what to say.
No, Tina.
This this is not our normal day.
This is not a normal day for us, but it's going to become that. We're getting on a new schedule to make it a little bit easier on us, which will be, we just kind of keep changing things up to find the right thing that works, even though, how long have we been on
it's
now?
It's like jazz.
Yeah, dude, you just flow. You got to hit the flow state. I know that's like kind of like I guess a real thing, but it bothers me so much when I hear people say that.
The just flow state? My
flow, the flow state, man. You know,
I never heard that before.
I was just about to make fun of people with certain bumper stickers, but I'm not going to do it. Oh, Brad.
The ones... What could you be thinking?
Not even bumper stickers, necessarily. There's a couple bumper stickers, and then there's... someone with a dream catcher on their rearview mirror, that kind of thing. What's the bumper sticker with all the religions symbols on it?
Oh yeah.
What's it called? What do they say?
Coexist. Yeah.
Which I'm totally down with. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, when I see that, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm down with that. But then I'm also like, I hate those bumper stickers, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just kind of an asshole sometimes. You know what I mean? I think it's good to important to admit that every once in a while. But yes. We're here to talk about Pearl Jam, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, as if that's abnormal. We're just catching up, man.
Yeah, that's true. How's your week?
You mean how's it been since yesterday when we talked?
Yeah, how was Pearl Jam at Wrigley Fields 2 days ago?
Well, that's a good...
How did that go?
That's a... good terrible segue into what I was about to say, which is that we're doing it on Monday. This is Monday. What's the date? Today is Monday the 13th.
Yes.
And obviously we are both kind of leaving town, our respective towns, on Thursday evening, so we can get on the road from Nashville on Friday morning at a decent time, so we're not rushing around. We got the party to go to Friday night, and then obviously the shows on Saturday and Monday and blah blah blah. So we're gonna go ahead and knock out this podcast this week. So we're gonna be we're just gonna do one kind of pertinent story. We're gonna kind of go out of order for this one, and no emails, because we literally have no emails to read, because the episode came out today.
Today.
The current episode.
If you're listening on the Monday the 20th.
This is a week ago. So
this was we recorded this a week ago. And so we don't know what happened in Montana yet. We don't know about night one at Wrigley. We don't know, if we've met any of you yet.
Exactly.
So if we met you 2 nights ago.
And we're not mentioning it.
It's not because you were like an asshole and we hate you. It's because
it hasn't happened
yet.
Oh yeah. My head just exploded.
So that was cool meeting. Can you edit from like your phone while we're there?
No.
Like, it was cool.
Yeah, it would sound like
cool meeting. All right. Drop that in right there.
You hear voice memo phone quality, just me saying a name.
Yeah.
All garbled and crackly. We're so glad to have met John Farrar. Right. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I can't even remember if he's one of the people we're going to get to meet or not, but he was the first listener that popped into my head for whatever reason. Anyway, so that's just a really long, rambly explanation of what's going on this week. But we are going to do a story, so why don't we go ahead and jump into some Pearl Jam story time for this week.
Good evening. This is Storytellers. We are here to tell stories.
We just have friends up here that are listening to stories.
Have I got a little story for you?
This is the true story.
All right, what you got?
This story comes from Scott Redding.
What's up, Scott?
And he's his what do you call it? Headline? What do you call that?
His subject?
Yes.
The subject of the email?
I'm so dumb.
I've his used email before. I'm a grown man.
Email? What's email?
Maybe it's from a female. Sorry, that was a little Homestar Runner reference there.
His subject line caught my eye because it said, "Rep the 60060, Brad B." And that is the zip code of where I grew up.
Oh, shit. I didn't know what that was. So, I mean, I figured it was a zip code, but I didn't know which one.
Yep.
Cool.
That's it. I'm on the line. So he says, B&B, first time, long time. I finally got through all the episodes, and it was really hard not to write in until I was caught up. First off, I'd like to say thank you both for all your hard work with the podcast. More importantly, I'd like to say a big thank you to your respective families and loved ones who allow you time to do the podcast each week. For a 90-minute podcast, I'm sure it's 2 hours of recording and then more time for research and editing. So thank you.
Dude, he's right. He's like hitting the nail right on the head. He's got his finger on the pulse of SPT behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's exactly right.
Yeah, but our respective families are pretty cool about our little hobby.
Yeah, they're like, thank God Brad's going to leave for a little while.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, guys. The only thing worse than Riot Act is me getting a formal write-up at work for laughing so hard at Brad B's feelings about that album. I know that's a little dated now, but it's been taking me a long time to get a solid email written. And he says, wait, I take that back. Brad L. sticking his foot in his mouth about Brad B's mom may have been funnier.
I forgot about that.
But I was at home listening to that episode. Yeah, that was your reaction when I was like, well, actually, that's my mom. You're like, oh, shit.
I didn't say anything bad, did I?
No.
No.
I didn't think so. I thought your reaction was funny because you were like, you didn't say anything bad, but you kind of thought like, uh-oh, I did say something. But no, dude.
Yeah, it caught me off guard. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So, here's my story. My story with Pearl Jam started at two different points in time. Unlike most listeners, God, I can't talk this morning. Sorry. Nobody turned me on to the band. Nobody that I knew, at least. My first experience with Pearl Jam was coming back from a band competition in downstate Illinois. All the kids had fallen asleep, and a friend of mine let me listen to his Discman with 10, as that was the only album he had with him. I would say this was around 95, 96. I was in 6th or 7th grade. I just remember it being intense for me, but not life-changing, not yet. I just remember Alive was the song that stuck out the most to me, and I listened to it over and over until the batteries ran out. It was different to me because I only had my sister's boombox to listen to while she was away at college, and I was too afraid to move the dial off of B96. OQ101, life would be different if I changed the dial sooner. B96 was like the top 40, you know,
station
hits of the day in Chicago. Yeah, and Q101 in those days, Q101 was like the alt rock station.
Gotcha.
So, and Q101 was like huge. at that time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I think they just switched here recently. Like, they stopped being alt-rock. I don't know what they are now, but I don't think
easy
they're...
Easy listening?
Something, yeah.
New age jazz?
We'll find out. You know what I'm going to do? Right now is turn Q101 on, because we're in Chicago, and we can listen to it.
That's right. Right now.
Right now. Maybe, yeah. All right. A few years later, I'm so good at the transitions, right?
Talk about a flow state.
Right.
we're in deep.
Gross.
Fucking Vulcan mind meld going on over here.
Somebody posted on Facebook about the Seattle shows. It was a woman, and she was very upset with the fact that you couldn't bring in a purse bigger than 4 by 6 inches.
Because she had tampons?
Yes. Did I send you that? I did send you that.
I think you did, yeah.
I did. And that's what her big gripe was, that...
I get it.
She said some... I can't even remember.
Well, I don't get it, but I can imagine.
But she was like, where am I supposed to put all my tampons? Now, something
about...
You
wear
them
all at once.
Do you want to... Who wants to come stand next to me while I menstruate on them?
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh. It's an interesting post.
Just let it all out there. Don't hold back.
Yeah. But that was a pretty... People were commenting rapidly, and it was hilarious. So.
All right. Well, Scott.
I told her there's one place she could put them.
I don't know that I want to hear the punchline of that joke. Sounds like you're not too sure about it either.
All right. Back to Scott. Yes. I apologize. A few years later, the Bulls got Dennis Rodman. As an avid Bulls fan, I read his book. He wrote about contemplating suicide in his truck outside the Palace of Auburn Hills. But he went on to talk about the song Daughter and how that saved him. I had to seek this out to give it a listen myself. That song, very melodic, but I could taste some anger in it too. At this time, it was 1998. I was now a freshman in high school and had recently been through a lot of trauma. My mother was a raging alcoholic, and a year prior had stabbed me in the shoulder in a drunken rage.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. I was like, whoa, this... story took a turn. Though she was arrested, the court system let me down by not keeping her away from me. My hostility towards her and most adults and authority figures began to build, thus making Pearl Jam so important and relatable to me. Relating my life events to the band and specifically to the songs Daughter and Alive, Pearl Jam became my saving grace. I graduated from Mundelein High School in 2001 and went to college in Iowa, where I live with my wife and two sons. He says, Mundelein in his house.
Yeah,
small
dude.
World.
Well, even smaller world. All my family, like half of my family is in Iowa.
Oh, really? Yeah, there you go.
I wonder where he is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go to Mundelein High School. We moved when I was in eighth grade, but my sister graduated from Mundelein, so... Hmm. And I'd been there, you know, we'd go to the pool and stuff.
Yeah. Pool time.
You know what's crazy? Like, I think about Mundelein all the time because that's like, that's where I grew up. And like,
sure.
You know, you think of like any childhood memories like that Mundelein. And now I'm like 43 and I think like I lived in Mundelein from like the age of 5 to... 14,
mm-hmm.
13. That's like 8 years out of 43.
Right.
And it's like that 8 years.
Those are very formative years.
Yeah. But it had such a huge impact on like the rest of my life.
Sure.
It's just weird.
Yeah, I mean,
I think I've been in Paris like 8 years and don't feel like it.
Right.
It doesn't feel as... big as Mundelein, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you get older and time goes by faster. You don't feel...
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like let me see here. I've been back in Birmingham for 10 years now, which it does not feel like that at all. I mean, it feels like four or five, you know, but I get that.
Now, he goes on to tell his album rankings. I don't know if you read this, but it's kind of interesting because he ranks his album rankings are like the equivalent to like children,
right? An age, yeah,
yeah. So like 10 is a newborn child. Your first one is always special and memorable. Like you're excited to see what it grows up to be. But all your friends tell you that it's the best if they just stayed this little forever. Versus as a toddler, your little one is growing up different than before, doing different things, expanding what they can do. Vitalogy is a 4 or 5 year old. You can finally see this little thing is growing up into, or what it's growing up into. No Code is a 7 or 8 year old. Yield is the 10 to 12 year old tween age. Still some good qualities, but you see there might be some trouble brewing ahead. Binaural is just like straight up teenager. Sorry, Brad L., but this kid has got some problems.
And I think that's probably why I like that record so much.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Riot Act is the like later teen emo years. And he says, sorry to my mom, Trudy, but fuckity fuck fuck. We have failed as parents. My kid is completely weird. I don't understand them anymore. I just don't know what to do. Avocado is like a young 20 something. He says, all right, still got some goth and emo friends, but the upside looks bright. Coming around, starting to find their direction in life. Backspacer is like getting into your early 30s, late 20s. Good Footing is now solid in life. And Lightning Bolt, your baby has finally matured, has their own passions in life, has settled down, someone you can have in-depth conversations with. You're proud of the journey you and your little one have gone through to get here. Point is, no matter what album is at your top or bottom, I treat them like my children. Sometimes there are down moments, but overall you love them just the same, all the time, no matter what. Keep up the great work and insight.
Scott Redding.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
Dude, I like that, the relating children thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes total sense.
Breaking the albums. Yeah, it was kind of a cool little rant on the albums.
Well, and it's cool too, because, you know, it's... I don't know. When you do put it in that context, not to go on some long tangent about it, but it does make you view the records a little bit differently, and you get time away from them. Like Riot Act, I didn't dislike Riot Act at all when it came out, but I definitely like it better after the fact with some time than I did at the time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's just kind of like in the kid world, it's like Aiden, Terrible Twos were bullshit. He was fine. He was great when he was 2. He was great when he was 3. For him, it was when he was 4. And that year was really hard as a parent or whatever. But I look back on it and it's just like, well, that was really important though. And I kind of look back on it fondly now, even though I was like, what is happening to this child right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But he had to go through it, you know? So.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. It's cool. Nice insight. Appreciate it, man. All right.
Can we stop for a second?
Yeah.
Can you hear Susan talking in the background?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
I just thought it was TV.
Yeah. I know. Hold on.
It's all good.
Yell at her. All right. She's just chatting away. Yakking away.
How dare couch. Her? How dare her live her life in her phone in her own home?
Sorry. All right.
Well, let's thanks again, Scott. Appreciate
dude.
You writing
on the line.
Yeah, dude.
What?
In the hizzy. Who says that? Not me. That did not feel natural at all, and I don't know why it happened. Moving
lame,
on.
Lame Brad B trying to be cool.
That's right. Lame Brad L.
Yo.
Oh God. Oh, I'm the one that said hizzy. Oh God. All right, let's do some quick housekeeping before we talk about this 2013 show, just in time for the new shows. What's so funny?
Every time we talk about this, I hear like Clint Ethan's commercial. So I hear like a Metallica song in my head. Like, I don't know.
You're dumb.
I am dumb.
I'm just kidding.
And you're then I was stupid. Thinking we should do like a commercial like them.
Oh, we are. We just have.
But we should. Can we use the Metallica song?
No.
That would be like so meta for me. But it would just be a joke, like an inside joke with myself, that I'm the only one that would get it.
That's no bueno. That's not how it works.
I know. I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. All right. If you want to get a hold of us and you don't know how, and if you're new to the podcast, we are obviously an all Pearl Jam podcast. We cover all kinds of stuff. Sometimes we break down a record. Like today, we're going to break down a show. We go through side projects, just kind of anything Pearl Jam related we cover every week. So that's us, and thanks for listening. Now, if you want to reach out to us, our email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We're on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube is another place you can listen to us, Spotify, all that good shit. So come say hi to us. I'm not on social media right now, really. So when I say that, I mean, come talk to Brad B for a little while until I decide I'm ready to hit the social media again. Not that I was, you know, super present before, but that's why I'm not on there right now. So it's not because I don't love you guys.
We'll get you back into
it. I'll get it back. I just had to take all that shit off my phone. What else we got? Oh, you know, like we said before, everyone that listens to this podcast, we feel like is a supporter of the show, but we do this for free. It's not a pity party kind of thing, but it does take a lot of time, and there's ways that we want to grow the show. The show's gotten a lot bigger, a lot more quickly than we thought it had, so we're still kind of learning as we go. We're, you know, less than a year in, but the additional support from our patrons has been a huge help. It's helped a ton, like with this weekend currently, or that just happened if you're listening to this on Monday. That's how we're able to go make the trip to Wrigley and not just see the shows selfishly for ourselves, but we're going to get to meet a lot of people. We're going to hopefully record some conversations with people, all that kind of fun stuff. So just a good example of how the patron support really helps us grow this show and get what we need for it. So thank you guys that already do that. If you were interested and would even just like to look at what the incentives and stuff like that are, you can go to patreon.com. That is patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. And like Brad said last week, there's no pressure in this at all. This is just for people that, you know, are in the position in life that they can help out a little bit. But there's no real hierarchy, if that makes any sense. Am I saying it the right way? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Don't feel bad if you can't help us out at all.
Yeah. And if you're already doing it and you have to cut back.
Absolutely.
Or drop off altogether, that's, you know, we're not going to look.
We don't get that notification email and go like, well, fuck those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like totally cool. No worries.
Yeah. I've been there. I've been there before. So
any support you can give us is much, much, much appreciated. So thank you guys. Again, that's patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. And that's enough of that bullshit.
Well, it's not enough of that.
Oh, God, it's not. We got a new one too.
Yes.
That's right.
If you can support us financially, like Joe Palomara did,
damn right,
we appreciate it.
Sup, Joe?
I don't know what I was trying to say there. Now we got a new patron this week, Joe Palomara. Have you ever seen that name before? Like,
nope.
Am I saying it
I think that sounds right.
Okay, cool. Joe Pal. Joe Pa. Ooh, maybe I don't want to call him Joe Pa.
Joey P.
Yeah, there you go. So thank you, Joe. I've talked to Joe a few times here and there on the socials. Probably, I think on Facebook I've seen Joe. But
yeah,
we just want to
thanks throw so his much, name dude.
Out there. And yeah, thank you, dude.
Thanks for taking the journey with us.
Yes.
And real quick note about t-shirts. Those will be shipped out this week before we leave for Chicago. We will obviously be taking care of the people that have been waiting fucking 3.5 months or whatever it's been for us to get this taken care of. Those people will get their shirts first, and then we will be bringing the rest to Wrigley. So if you're one of those people that's going to be hanging out with us or meeting us and you want a shirt but don't want to, you know, necessarily have to commit to a monthly thing, we will be bringing some shirts with us as well. So.
Dude, we're already there.
Yeah.
So
what? Already wear what?
We're already in Chicago with our shirts, and we've probably already given them
to
some people.
I'm so dumb. This whole time travel thing is really hard for me.
I know, right? Yeah.
Anyway,
we sent the shirts out last week.
Right, exactly.
And we sold most of them yesterday. So
that'd be great because it's already about time to get a new shipment. I would imagine anyway. So anyway, enough of that stuff. Let's get to the let's get to the episode.
All right.
So yeah, we're doing the Wrigley 2013 show. What? Dude.
Sorry.
No, you're not. You're not sorry in the slightest.
I'm not. I just like your reactions.
Well, that just happened.
Can you like crank that up?
You are a fucking animal. Yeah, I can. Will I?
Know.
I won't. It needs to be cranked.
Because the last time it happened, you didn't hear it while we were recording, but you said you heard it like editing later.
Yeah.
Did you take it out?
Nope.
Because I
didn't
hear
boost it or anything, but it was there.
Okay.
It was there. But all those moments will come in handy for some sort of like 1 year kind of retrospective.
Yeah. Dude, we're right. You just said something about less than a year. We're
super close. I mean, like a month away.
Yeah, not even.
That's right? True. We're less than a month.
Was it September 4th?
It was the first Monday of September last year. So
yeah.
Yeah,
we're
man.
We're like 2 weeks away, 3 weeks, about 2.5 weeks. That's nuts.
It's crazy.
We've been doing this for a year. And that we didn't like break up.
I know. Didn't know each other, and now look at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get an apartment together.
Okay.
All right. So Wrigley 2013. My boy here, Brad B, was at the show. Rain delay.
I was at the show.
So we're going to talk about this Wrigley show since we are in Wrigley. Or
yes, we're
just
at
got
Wrigley
back.
Right
actually,
now.
Yeah, Monday is
no,
the second
we're
show.
There.
We're there, dude.
It's tonight. It's night two. Oh, night twos are always crazy.
I can't
I mean,
fucking
night
wait.
One. Night one was pretty great.
But I'm sure it was
tonight.
I'm sure it was / will be.
Yes.
All right. So you went to this show.
I did.
I mean, it's a great set list, but it's also kind of a notorious show because of the almost 3 hour rain delay.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
All right. So let's kind of jump into this.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I drove up there the day before, actually with my mom, and Amanda went with me. Amanda B.
Oh, cool. Amanda was at the show with you? Or
yes.
She just go? Okay, cool.
No, she went. Yeah, she went to the show. My mom just hitched a ride, and we went in. Ate pizza with my uncle, and she hung out with my uncle for a couple of days.
Cool.
And I, when I got there, the show was on a Friday, but we got up there on Thursday. I spent like hours in the merch lines outside trying to get. I just wanted posters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the merch lines were just insane. But met some cool people in line. So then. The next day, Friday, got down there pretty early, and I want to say there was 3 merch booths, and was just in line like all day.
Oh, really?
All day. Yeah, and then wow. you'd get up to the booth. I'd be in line for 2 or 3 hours. Get up to the booth, everything's sold out. There's no posters. There's no 2 or 3X shirts. Everything's like, it's just like the dregs,
right?
You know? And it was hot as balls.
Oh, I'm not looking forward
August,
to that, dude.
August 19th, you know what I mean?
Ugh.
Or, yeah, August? July.
July.
July 19th. It was hot. So, doors finally open, and we didn't have GA. I had seats. So we go in. There's a merch booth set up, like, right when you walk in. And I was in line for maybe 20 minutes. I got the two posters I really wanted, and I got a shirt, and Amanda got a shirt she wanted. So, like, I wasted all that fucking time in the lines outside, and then I walked in and, like, went right up to a booth and got what I wanted. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would drive me insane.
Yeah. Oh, we're not... Do you not want to wait in line?
Oh, I do, but...
Remember yesterday when we waited in line... Six hours?
No, because I totally want, like, that part of the experience. Like, I want to buy a poster, at least one poster, if I can afford it and all that kind of stuff. I just mean that, like, if I had waited in line, didn't get what I wanted, and then ended up just walking in and getting what I wanted, that would have, like, are you fucking kidding me, universe? Yeah. That would have been me.
Yeah, I was pretty, like, ugh. Yeah. I was happy. I was fucking happy, though, because after going to the third booth and not getting anything, I was pretty bummed that I didn't get the posters I wanted.
Right.
And then to get them later, I was like, all right, I guess I'm happy. I'll be happy with what I got. So.
Sure.
But, yeah, we went in. Got our seats, and actually, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but my sister had some seats, and she ended up not going, so she sold her tickets, and those people came, and they were pretty cool. You know, we were talking about, what do you think they're going to open with? And I was like, man, I hope it's Long Road. He's like, no way, dude, it's going to be Release.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. He's like, I guarantee it. I'm like, okay.
Who was saying that?
The guy sitting next to me.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, but we were like, I hate to complain, but we were like behind home plate all the way back up, like 5 rows from like the wall.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the stage is out in center field.
Right.
So we were, like, way far back.
Sure.
And I was like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. You know what I mean? But the other part of me was like, I don't care. I'm sitting in Chicago at Wrigley Field, you know?
Sure.
Like, this is awesome.
Right.
This is so awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait for that feeling.
For what?
For that feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen them, and after 20 years to see a Wrigley show is going to be pretty fucking amazing.
I'll tell you what I wrote in my little notebook, diary, journal. Oh, dude. I didn't even notice this. Okay, the couple next to us showed up, and I told them that my sister had sold them those seats. They were from Birmingham. So we talked about Alabama and Pearl Jam for a little while. That's really crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah. I wish I would have caught their name. So real nice people. I was hoping for the opener to be Long Road, but he predicted Release. When Release started, I just looked at him. He smiled and high-fived me. It was kind of gay.
That's what you wrote in your book?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You are a child. Like, forget about being politically correct or anything like that.
Oh,
but like,
yeah, I'm sorry. Should we cut that out?
No. I mean, I don't care. I don't know what you... I mean, I know you don't mean anything by it, but...
Right.
My point was just going to be, apart from that, just, like, who says that? Other than kids that don't really know what that means.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're gay. Whoa, that hurts so bad. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that when I was a kid.
I mean, I'm calling myself gay.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure, no? Man. It's
never
okay.
Is it never okay?
This is freedom of speech, bro.
Yeah.
Use that freedom. MAGA. Piss some people off. Let's do it. All right.
Sorry.
So, continue.
All right, so Release, dude. Perfect. Perfect opening song. It was awesome. And it was kind of cool because, like, the sun hadn't gone down just quite yet. So it was, like...
That's nice.
Just starting to get dark, but not, like, fully dark. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Nothing Man, which was, you know, it's a slow one. I like that song, but...
It doesn't feel like an opener song, though, to me. There's something in between. Like, it seems like one of those songs that you put in when you're, like, wanting to slow things down some for a minute,
right.
But not trying to get, like, you know, indifference level vibey or whatever. It's kind of that middle of the road song. It feels a little weird at the beginning.
Yeah, which brings us to present tense. Woo-wee. Because... I love that song. I love it live, but it's a weird placement for it. Third, like the third song, I'd rather hear it in the middle somewhere.
It's interesting because they use, all right, so let's look at Corduroy, let's look at Better Man, some of the ones that they... The song, in this case, present tense, you would think, for what I'm about to say, these songs that kind of, like, start off a little, like, you know, you've got Corduroy, it just starts off with Eddie playing the riff, and it kind of slowly builds, right, into the first verse, where you've got present tense, which is super chill, like an opener, but then it gets big. And usually it seems like they, or Better Man's the same way, they use these songs to, like, we're still chill, it's the transition song. You know what I mean? It's like the beginning of the song fits the slow chill opener type shit, but by the end of it, we've picked up and we're off to the races, and now we're going to play some, you know, really upbeat songs for maybe four or five songs. You know what I'm saying? But this felt like a fake out.
Yes.
Does it make sense? Because then they go back to chill again at the end of present tense. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not knocking the set list at all. I just think there's a couple...
It's a great song. I think it'd be cool to open with present tense.
Fuck yeah, dude. If they were doing like a one song opener, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes.
Just do
present tense into...
Into...
Like Interstellar Overdrive
something.
And Corduroy.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, but because it starts off slow and then builds up, that would be a cool opener.
Absolutely. Agreed.
So then we get Hold On. I think I've talked about this before, but like I never expected to hear this song live.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like the one time that I was like looking around, like, are they talking to me? Like, are they singing this for me?
Right.
Like, I know it's not,
sure.
Obviously.
But I know
it's
what you mean.
Just that weird feeling of like, I am the only one in the world that loves this song as much as I do, and they're playing it for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's insane, but that's just like how I felt.
No, it just means that it's like a, you know, intimate moment between this one, you know, not one fan. Lots of people feel that way about the song or whatever, but
yeah,
that's
just
what
not
makes it
like
feel
a
special.
Song. Yeah, it's not a song that like I ever expected them to. It seems like such a deep cut.
Yeah.
That I couldn't imagine that they were playing it, and then they're playing it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so great. This is insane.
It's such a deep cut, and it's still such a great song. A lot of times, deep cuts or deep B-side cuts are they're B-sides for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we we talked about before, that's not really the case 98% of the time with Pearl Jam, you know?
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Then we go again. Not that Low Light's a jammer, but like it's kind of slow.
It's one of their openers. Then we go, you know?
Yeah. Then we go back to like slow time with Low Light.
Yeah.
Which again, it's, I don't know. It's just, come on, guys. Let's rock.
Well, hold on a second. So at the time, I mean, it's easy to like talk about your feelings about something. At the time, though, did you feel that way? Or is this just a kind of in retrospect? Did you feel like, all right, come on, let's get into this?
No.
Okay.
You know what I wrote?
What?
Low Light. Hmm. Another slow one? Question mark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's okay. What I wrote like a week after the show when I wrote all this stuff.
Oh, okay, cool. So you wrote this stuff down after the fact, like not like that night or anything. Okay, cool.
No, not that night, but like a week later.
Right on.
Just to get it all out. Well, whatever. So then we get Eddie starts talking about wanting to dedicate the next song, which is Come Back. Somebody on the 10 Club board that passed away. And it's funny. Again, we talked about this before, but I'll just get into it here. Like, this guy wrote to on the 10 board, on the porch message board, that him and his wife were big, big fans and that she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just amazing to me that Eddie, that they saw this and got on stage and mentioned both of their names. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And played the song for him. You know, I think they had bought tickets thinking that they were both going to be going, and then she passed away in between.
Jesus. You know?
And yeah, dude. So, you know, Eddie knew that this dude was going to be in the crowd and singing the song for her. Oof. Just super emotional.
And that song, you know? Jeez.
Yeah.
Like in that context, you know?
Yeah.
Oof.
And then after the song, Eddie mentions like the approaching weather and kind of like, you know, we might have some weather coming in. Yeah. A little like, man, we're going to get through this. All right. And then they start playing Elderly Woman, you know?
Right.
And I'm just like, wonder what that means. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then they play Elderly Woman. I'm like, God, another slow one.
I know, dude.
You know, but I, looking back, I wonder if they kind of
knew.
They knew, like, they were going to have to postpone the show.
Yeah.
So they kind of were
holding back,
not
until
wanting
they...
to. Yeah, yeah. Not wanting to just start going crazy when they knew they're going to have to cut the set short, which is exactly what happened.
Right.
He comes out and says there's a bad storm coming. This is after Elderly Woman, but says that they'll be back in about an hour or so. And I remember he said they had a dude come out and he was like, the storm's going to be here in like half an hour and it's only going to last half an hour. So, and then we need time to get everybody back. So like, give us like an hour, hour and a half. And they made everybody leave like the pit.
Okay. And but everyone in their seats could stay.
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
Because you're pretty much covered.
Right.
So it just was like that the storm came and it was pretty bad. I mean, it was like raining and lightning and It was like raging storm for like 20-30 minutes.
That's crazy.
And then we all just sat and sat and sat for like another 2 hours.
Oh, dude.
It turned into 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Was there ever a moment? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, but I was ahead. Just curious. Like, was there ever a moment where people were just like, there was any grumbles of like, man, this just isn't gonna happen. Let's just fucking get out of here. Or was everyone pretty sure that, you know, they're gonna make it back on stage?
There was people talking like, you think they're gonna come back out? I hope so. They said they were,
but not people like a bunch of people like, fuck this, we're gonna leave.
No.
Okay.
No, dude. I mean, obviously some people left.
Sure.
But like, not even that you could tell. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. It didn't make a dent in the size of the crowd, really. Yeah.
Right. No, not at all. So I just took Amanda when the storm finally calmed down and then we're sitting there and it's not even raining anymore. I'm just like, let's go. We're in fucking Wrigley Field. Like, we're in a historic building and there's not a show going on. Let's just walk around. And right. We just walked around, talked to all
the
different...
same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like showing her like, well, I went to a game with grandpa over here one time. We sat over here, you know, and then I said, let's go upstairs. It's a cool view up there. You know what I mean? And we talked to, which, dude, I never do this. Like, I hate people. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I'm so anxiety ridden and like introverted.
Right.
So, but I just was like, the spirit of the Jamily took over. And I was talking to people and like just hanging out with people. It was awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And so finally they let people back on the stage. And so then we were like, okay, cool. This is happening, you know? And Eddie came out and he's got an acoustic guitar and he's like, you know, it's great to be back. And he said, Ernie Banks used to say, let's play two. But I'm thinking, let's play until 2, because everyone was worried about the
was there a curfew?
Curfew.
Well.
Yeah. So, because at this point it's like 11:45 at night, like the show should be over,
right?
You know, but he came back out and he starts talking about like the next song, and he tells a story about how he met Ernie Banks and that Ernie, you know, obviously really didn't know who he was. He's like, I hear you play in a band, you know?
Love it.
And he said, you know, this place, the Cubs, they need a song. You know, you should write somebody should write a song, you know? And Eddie was like, when Ernie Banks asks you to write a song about the Cubs, you do it.
Right.
You know? So Eddie starts playing All the Way. You know,
yeah,
and then they bring out Ernie Banks onto the stage, and dude, you got to understand, like, I'm like a huge Cubs fan,
right?
Grew up outside of Chicago, and like Ernie Banks is literally, his nickname is literally Mr. Cub,
right?
Like, he is the Cubs. So for me to be in that place with Pearl Jam, with Eddie singing All the Way, and then Ernie Banks comes out, I was just like, this is amazing. My head's going to explode. And the fact that, I mean, dude's an old man. And it was like after midnight that he stuck around for that whole time to do all that. Because I'm sure they probably were going to play All the Way earlier in the set so Ernie could come out and go home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he hung out for the whole night. Well, up until that point.
Interesting.
That's and cool. I was just kind of, I was freaking out.
Yeah,
Ernie was talking about how Eddie gave him his baseball glove that he had since he was like 5. And Ernie's like, I'm keeping it. I'm taking it home.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. So he was like, it was just cool for me to be there for that. So we get done with the rain delay, get done with the like 20-minute All the Way Cubs fan kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like now the show begins.
Yeah, it
to does. Me, this is where the show starts.
Right.
And Eddie says, like, all right, everybody ready? And like Matt kind of like just played a note on a snare. I don't know how to explain that. Like
he just hit it.
Yeah, yeah. Almost like tuning his guitar, tuning his drums.
Right.
And they go into All Night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody ready?
Which is just an interesting choice too, don't you think?
Lyrically,
yeah. I mean, I get why he did it or whatever, but just as another song, as I look through the set list, and granted, I'm not as versed in kind of like the set list over the years as you might be, but that's not a common song necessarily for them to play, you know?
Yeah. No, I thought it was awesome.
Of course, they had 3 hours in the rain delay to relearn it, but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but it's another great B-side, or that's on Lost Dogs, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that opens sure. Lost Dogs. So yeah, it was awesome to hear that song. And just like perfect timing, the delay is done. Like I said, we're just like now the rock show is starting.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And then they go in to do the evolution.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Again, just like now we're fucking on fire.
Right.
And then they do Setting Forth, which is an Eddie solo song.
Right.
But they do like a harder Pearl Jam version of the song.
They jammed it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's not like a rocker.
Sure.
Like the previous two, but it's, you know, it's a good like middle of the road rock song. And it sounds, the Pearl Jam version's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to The Boot a couple days ago. Yeah.
So then we get into Corduroy, and Mike's solo at the end is just fucking sick. Like, it's just, I remember being all the way in the back and still just like, holy shit, this dude's on fire.
Right.
And tell you what, the sound was pretty good. They had speakers set up like at home plate. So even though we couldn't see so good, the sound actually was really good.
It's a pro setup, dude. Sorry, I just thought Jerky Boys when you said I couldn't see so good.
I can't see so good.
My name is Saul.
My shoes
Saul
and
Rosenberg.
Glasses fell off.
I'll bring all my shoes and my glasses so I'll have them. I went to the Empire State Building and I couldn't see, goddammit. I'm so sorry for those that don't know what the Jerky Boys are. But anyway, continue.
All right, so... then we get Faithful.
Hell yes.
Yeah, dude.
God, I would love to see that song.
This set just keeps getting better. Such a great song from Yield. Starts off slow, but builds up. Fuck yeah.
Two Mike songs in a row, too. Faithful and then into Minor Manners.
Dude, I'm telling you, that Corduroy solo is so fucking good.
Yeah. He has a lot of cool moments.
Yeah, he does.
That's the good thing. Sorry, real quick about from guitar player land. Like, that's one of the things that's like such a with every aspect of what they do in some ways being so off the cuff. Like the way they build their set lists, you know, it's different every night. The way they truly do kind of jam, like when it's time for, you know, in this case, for Corduroy to kind of jam out the end, like Mike doesn't play the same solo every time, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He just kind of does it. And sometimes it's just kind of like, that was good. But because they kind of like just, they literally kind of like step off the cliff, that also means that sometimes it's just magic happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love waiting to see what's going to happen next, even in an instrumental section, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So next we get Mind Your Manners, which at the time was a brand new song.
Mm-hmm.
They had released, I think they released it as a single, so everyone was like kind of familiar with it.
Yeah.
But this was only the second time they'd played it live. They had played it in London, Ontario, like two nights before and debuted it. But I mean, I love that song. It's a good, faster, you know, rocking out.
Well, and I love it since then because, you know, for some context, this is 2013, which is when Lightning Bolt came out.
Right.
And it's cool that since then, Mind Your Manners has kind of become a really common song in the post 2013 set list, you know?
Yeah.
They still play that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then they play Lightning Bolt for the first time. Like this song.
The title track of the next record. So this one's called Lightning Bolt.
No one had heard this song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hadn't heard it.
Right.
And I loved it. I loved it right off the bat. And it was pretty cool. Like, you know, I don't think I mentioned, this is the first Pearl Jam show I'd been to since 98.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for me, getting to see them play a new song.
Live, oh, hell yeah, dude.
Was like, I felt like this is a special moment. Like, I'm watching them play a new song that no one's heard. And I liked it.
I was going to say.
I liked this song a lot.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And then State of Love and Trust.
Woo! I was just thinking about that while you were talking. Like, to get a brand new song and then get State. It is a great song. You know what I mean? I still love the song Lightning Bolt. And then go into one of my all-time favorites, State of Love and Trust, you know? Shit.
Yeah. I was dying, dude. I'm like, this set list is great. Like, it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Then we get Wishlist, and he changes the lines to, I wish I was the sound of all Wrigley's hands upraised and open towards the sky.
So
we're
deep.
Here for you. Yeah. and then we get Even Flow.
How was that one? How was that staple?
That was, again, Mike solo is amazing.
Yeah, he usually is.
So, and Eddie talked about, like, after Even Flow, he started talking about how that was the first day he said he saw Mike signing autographs during the day, and that it was I don't know how he missed it, but he said this was the first time he realized that Mike is left-handed.
What?
Yeah.
He just realized that?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
I'm a lefty.
That was weird. Are you? Do you play left-handed?
No.
So you're like Mike.
Kind of fucked me up a little bit at the beginning, but...
That's crazy.
Totally normal for me now.
Is that pretty common for guitar players?
Guitar players especially, I think. It's easy to set up a reverse drum kit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
But you literally have to buy a left-handed guitar, which a lot of the times,
right.
not only are they harder to find, okay. they're more expensive in some cases.
Right.
And for a kid that's like,
right.
you know, at the time, not knowing if they're really going to stick with it or not, yeah, it was just easier to buy. I mean... I quote unquote learned my first chords on my friend's guitars. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like, even though it was so early in the game, my only experience with it was just doing it right-handed.
Yeah. You
know? So
yeah. Okay. So after Even Flow, we get Leatherman, which we've talked about Leatherman.
Mm-hmm.
I think just a couple weeks ago.
Last week.
Love that song. Was it last week?
I think so. Yeah.
Hmm.
We just talked about it.
We're in the future. We're in the future, remember.
Well, that's why I said last week.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we talk about it last night? When we recorded? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know what? I think we talked about it both.
Okay.
Last week and the week before. Gotcha. Anyway. Leatherman, awesome. Love that song. Never thought I'd see him play it. I don't think they play that, you know, very often.
No.
Then we get fucking Mike fucking McCready doing Eruption.
Boom.
That was fucking awesome. I couldn't believe... he's done that before, but it's really rare, you know? And, I mean, I love Van Halen. I love Eddie Van Halen. So, for me, it was fucking amazing to see that. Then Eddie comes out and he's got his accordion. And I'm like, oh shit! And he starts to play Bugs.
Okay, let's kind of like have a seat here for a second. How did you feel about that? And I'll just go ahead and say, like, for me, looking at the set list, mm-hmm. I'm like torn because right there, like, Leatherman's cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm kind of indifferent about it. Eruption. That seems like fun to be there and see. I don't give a shit though. And then Bugs, I don't hate it, but it is what it is.
Like, wait, you don't give a shit about Eruption?
No.
What did you just say? I'm sorry. I left for a second. Or is that what you're saying? You don't give a shit about Eruption?
No, I don't give a shit about Eruption.
What? You play guitar?
Yeah, but that's okay, that's a whole nother conversation. My answer to that.
It's just self pollution.
Self master. Yeah, it's just very. I'm not talking about Mike. I just mean like I was never into.
Mm-hmm.
I was never into the Van Halen, Steve Vai, Joe Satriani. Like those. That's not why I've learned to play drums or guitar or any of that shit.
Right.
Like I liked I liked playing songs and writing songs. You know what I mean? And yeah. I don't mean that in like a shitty, douchey way. I just...
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. Can I play Eruption?
Kate was right.
Probably not. Yeah. Super fucking pretentious over here.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Coco.
But it was great meeting her yesterday, too.
What's that?
It was great meeting her.
Yeah, no shit. but here's what... my point is this. So I'm just wondering... how I would feel at the time going, that's three song slots that while it'll be cool to say I was at the show, a show where they did Bugs, for example,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if being able to say that is worth missing out on a song that I would really love to hear. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
I just wonder if I would have been disappointed in the moment a little bit, or if it would just be like a, well, in hindsight, that was so cool to be there, blah, 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 but I wish they kind of would have played some other stuff. You know what I mean? That's just me.
I totally get where you're coming from, and I think a lot of people feel like that, but I don't. Like,
yeah.
I loved it. I loved being there. I'm very much like, I like when weird, different stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
I love being able to say I was part of that. And yeah, would I like to hear, like, I don't know, Oceans?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Or like, Rearview Mirror. Well, not Rearview Mirror, because they play. I'm just saying, like, and I can't think of something off the top of my head, but, like, yeah, it'd be cool to hear a different song. But, I mean, I go to a lot of shows. I listen to a lot of bootlegs. I like when the rare, weird stuff happens.
Oh, like, I do, too. That's
a really cool thing.
And that's my point. I think that's the thing. I just wonder. It's like, part of me would have been like, holy shit, I'm at a Pearl Jam show, and they're playing Bugs. How fucking weird is that? And yeah. I'm here for it. But then it's also like, well, let me think of the, you know, even, again, in hindsight, looking and knowing what the set list continued to be, it's just like, man, I can think off the top of my head like 15 songs that I would have loved to have heard in those, yeah. You know what I mean? In those three spots. But
well,
whatever.
It's true. I mean, if you look at the songs that didn't get played because of the rain delay, like they had a cutoff about 6 or 7 songs.
Sure. Well, and that even goes more to my point. It's just like, you know, we might, whatever. It's just the experience versus going... I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, too. I feel that way about sets that have a lot of covers in them. I love their covers. It's not that. But it's like, man, I want to hear as much fucking Pearl Jam
as I can. I don't know.
I don't want five covers in a
set. I'm not arguing with you, but I love all covers. Like I've heard this on like Facebook the last few days that they played too many covers in Seattle.
Right.
Because I think they did 9 both nights.
See, that would have bummed me the fuck out, dude.
Oh man.
And I'm not a cover hater.
They played 23 other songs, Pearl Jam songs.
Yeah, and they could have played 9 more.
Yeah, but
or let's say 7 more.
But most bands play 22 songs.
But we're not talking about most bands.
I know, but you're getting both. You're getting a full fucking set of Pearl Jam stuff on top of a bunch of covers that they normally wouldn't do because they only do 22 songs of their own. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just don't agree with, I guess, the premise of what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like, for me, it's just purely like... To make sure I'm being understood here, like, I would also be super disappointed if I went to a show and there were 0 covers. It's not that I don't want covers. Yeah. It's that, yes, you can say, well, you still got 22 Pearl Jam songs. But it's like, well, Pearl Jam does play 30 song sets. And they have enough material at the ready of their own to play. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know, dude. I'm just saying, like, Search and Destroy.
Yeah.
With the dudes from Mudhoney.
Right.
And Kim Thayil. I don't think I would trade that for any Pearl Jam
song.
See,
but that's different, though. Like, that you got Mudhoney out there doing... It's a thing. It's a special thing. And again, when they do covers without guests, it's a special thing. Because that's one of the things I love about covers in the Pearl Jam world is that they've made them their own songs on a certain level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these songs are so inexplicably tied to Pearl Jam now, right?
Right.
But yeah. I don't want 9 of the songs to be covers. 9 songs when they've got a catalog that is so fucking deep. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree.
All right. Let's move on. We were talking about Bugs.
Yes, I enjoyed Bugs.
I bet. That's super cool. Yeah.
All right. So then, because that was the third time they played it, or Eddie's played it. Then we go into Why Go. Awesome.
Kick ass.
Unthought Known.
Hello.
Such a great song, dude. That song is... I love it.
Gems and rhinestones.
It's such a, like, uplifting rocker.
Dude, when they get to that point, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the main set to close with an absolutely epic fucking version of Rearview Mirror.
Nothing wrong with closing one of the sets with Rearview Mirror, man.
Yeah, I love it. Man, so great. I wrote in here, Matt had a little drum fill that I thought was going to turn into a drum solo, but it didn't. He does that every once in a while, like when they do that like even 5-minute jammy, yeah, that kind of like breakdown thing, and when Matt has to come in, like bring the band back in by doing his little drum thing.
Right.
I'm like, oh, are we going to get it? Are we going to get a drum solo? And then no, we don't.
No.
So the band leaves and they come back for the encore. And Brendan O'Brien joins them for another brand new live song called Future Days. They had never played it. It was not released, obviously, at the time. I think Lightning Bolt came out like a week or two after the show.
Gotcha.
Something like that. Very, very slow. And after Rearview Mirror, we had sat down. Or I think Amanda probably had been sitting down. Dude, I got to say, she was a trooper. I mean, she was 13 at the time.
Oh, wow. I didn't 14, think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's not, you know, 13-year-old teenage girl, like, isn't the biggest Pearl Jam fan. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Not that she hated it, but I think she went more for the trip of we're going to Chicago, and it's going to be a fun time, and just like, I'm going to a quote-unquote concert.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But she was not like bratty or like I'm tired, you know what I mean? She hung in there the whole time, but she was sitting down by this point. And so when the encore, like Rearview Mirror happened after that song, I like sat down because again, dude, we're like
that's way, a long day, man.
Yeah. Holy oh shit. Yeah, and we're like in the back, you know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of people were sitting down. And I'm real like, you can't sit down at a rock show. It's Pearl Jam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, it's fucking like 1:30 in the morning. They're playing like the slowest plinkety plinkety piano song, Future Days.
Right.
And it's a song I've never heard. So I don't even know.
Like, that wasn't exciting though?
it was exciting that it was a new song. But the excitement like went down the tubes when it was Future Days.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Sorry, it's just such a slow song.
Something I'd never thought about before, actually, until just now hearing you talk about it, is I wonder if the first time I heard Future Days was at a show, if it would have changed the way I approached it when I hear it on the record.
I wonder if that's why it makes it more special to me. Yeah. I don't know, dude. But maybe that's why I don't care for it so much.
Yeah, sure.
Because it was like, man, we just had Rearview Mirror. You're up totally like on this high from that. You kind of come down, you sit down, and you're like, whoo, it's late. And then they come out and start playing that. Like, ugh. Just slow.
Yeah.
And then, I'm right with you on the no covers at this point because they.
Or are you just
playing.
Saying that because it's Pink Floyd?
I hate that song.
Okay, so the song you
they
hate.
Start
All
playing,
right.
Yeah, they start playing "Mother" by Pink Floyd.
Okay.
I'm just not down with it. I don't like that song. I'd heard it before. I don't like it. So I would have rather heard Comfortably Numb.
Right.
To be honest with you. I can handle that song.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on. They start playing Chloe Dancer, Mother Love Bone cover.
And which Crown was, of Thorns.
And, yeah, they do play. Yeah, they play them both together. Totally.
See, now that's what I'm talking about with covers. You know what I mean? Like, I would have been super fucking psyched to see that in person, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And Eddie starts thanking everybody in the band for giving him a chance, you know, after Andy died. And just the history of the song and them playing it is fucking awesome.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was fucking epic. Again, it was... For me to see them play those two songs together, you know, just awesome.
Hell yeah.
Kind of slow, but
mm-hmm.
in a different kind of good way for me. And then now we're coming to the end of the show. So they fucking are gonna, no pun intended, but kick out the Jams.
Yeah.
We go into Porch. And Eddie is playing that, like, he does this, like, palm muted shuffle intro.
Yeah, it slows it down.
Yeah, where, like, I'm one of those people, I've heard it a bunch through the bootlegs. So I'm like, oh my God, this is Porch. This is that weird Porch intro.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people just like, I wonder what song this is. And I'm like freaking out.
Right.
I'm the one person, like, that you can hear in the background screaming before, like, the crowd catches up. And realizes, oh, this is Porch. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Does that sound, do I sound like pretentious? Like, oh.
No. I've been there many times with, you know.
Okay.
With those kind of other spots and shows. Not just Pearl Jam. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Eddie does something so fucking cool. During the breakdown part, he goes down to the crowd. And he's standing on the barricade. But he's got his back to the crowd, like he's facing the band.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, like, pick him up like Jesus. And he, like, crowd surfs, but not, like, crazy 1992 crowd surfing. He's just on his back, and they're just, like, picking him up.
Right.
Like, and holding him, like, in the air.
It's not that, like, mosh pit stage dive.
No. It's just, like...
God, I'm so glad the days of mosh pits are so gone.
Oh, dude, I hated that when
I was. I know, but not. I mean, it was a thing in the 90s,
dude. And it was nuts.
It scared the shit out of me.
Pearl Jam, like, yeah, like I never. You wouldn't think of Pearl because I'm like used to like going to see Slayer and Megadeth and like mm-hmm. these totally aggro metal bands, and I'm like, of course you're gonna get a pit there. Pearl Jam's not that kind of band. Yeah, they are. Back then they were.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, it was scary sometimes in some of those pits. Like, I think I've told you before, me and Susan went to see them in Fort Lauderdale in 96.
Yeah.
And, like, we were getting crushed, and she was, like, screaming, like, scared screaming. And I'm like, oh, yeah, shit. Dude.
Like, I mean, even as an adult, like, I think we talked about last, maybe it was on the show. I can never remember what gets recorded and put on the show and what's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, Clint and I go into Gwar in Birmingham and Nashville. And I remember specifically the Birmingham show. Like, and I don't, you know, if you don't know Clint or haven't seen him or whatever, I don't mean this like he's some tiny, you know, fragile human, because he's not, but I'm definitely like a bigger, taller dude than him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're there to, like, you know, see the band. You know, this is a band I've been listening to since I was in like middle school, something like that, you know. And never seen them live before, so these are my first times getting to see them live. And so we both want to be out down in the front because we want to get the full experience. We want to get sprayed. We want to get, you know, I think they cut off Kanye's head at that was part of the show. Guy out there in a Kanye outfit with a big mask on, and there's blood spurting out everywhere. But the other side of that is that means you're down there at a metal show with people that are mosh, like, yes, just fucking going for it. And
yeah,
we're in those one of those weird spots, and Clint just couldn't. He was just like, "I'm gonna get kicked in the fucking head or whatever." So I literally just. Like he was my boyfriend that I was protecting or something. Like, I just stood behind him and I just held my right arm out to the side, mm-hmm, as like, yeah, this, like, you gotta go through my arm. And yes, to also kind of like be like, hey, motherfuckers, like, do your thing. That's cool. But I'm not into it. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
yeah,
we're here to, yeah, see the fucking show as well. You, yeah, know,
I've done that with Amanda a few times. Like, we'll go to these shows and, like, we'll be on the rail, but people will start, like, crushing up against us.
Mm-hmm.
So I will stand in back of her and put both of my arms, like, around her and on the hold rail. The rail.
Yeah, totally.
And then I just push back,
yep,
and create, like, a human force field around her. So she's, like, in this little bubble, and I'm just fucking getting knocked around and pushed, and, you know, she doesn't even realize really what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine you doing that for Clint.
Yeah, sure.
I thought you were about to say you fucking picked him up like a child.
Oh God, no. Yeah, just held him like a baby.
Just
he's sipping on his Jack and Diet Coke like a bottle.
Yeah,
in my arms, covered in alien blood and semen.
God.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, he's a dainty elf.
No, he's not. But
no, yeah, he's not. That's a what do you call it?
I don't know.
That's a reference to their show.
Oh, is it? I'm a little, yeah, bit somebody, behind.
Somebody called Kirk Hammett a dainty elf one time.
Oh, I remember that.
They,
yeah,
yeah. They just they ran with that. So, yeah, all right. So let's get back to the show. Yeah, Porch was fucking awesome. Then we get the Wasted reprise into Life Wasted. And Eddie talks about, this is pretty cool. He starts talking about being a kid and watching the Cubs on TV with his grandfather. And, you know, it was, they didn't have a lot of money, so all they had was a black and white TV, you know, and this is like late 60s, I think. And he starts describing how the first time he walked into Wrigley Field, and like, you kind of have to walk up these steps, and he starts describing seeing Wrigley like from the bleachers for the first time.
Hmm.
And everything's in color, and it just like kind of like flipped him out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had like the same reaction when I was like 8 or 9, the first time I went to Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it just kind of got chills listening to him describe like a very similar thing that happened to me as a kid.
Right.
You know? So, but I'm sure a lot of people have that same experience. It's just, there is something about the first time you go there. Like, if you grew up watching baseball on TV, it's such a different experience when you go there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
so
Wrigley has always been, you know, even for someone that doesn't really follow sports anymore or whatever, but the first time I went to Wrigley or even saw Wrigley, you know, in person, that was like, it was a big deal. It was like,
yeah,
you know, I used to sing this place as a kid on TV and stuff like that. But right, for me, that experience was getting to see my first game at Yankee Stadium, because
right,
for me, like, that's the city I'm super connected to, you know?
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah,
my second home.
That. Yeah.
So I know the feeling is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then we get into Black, which, I mean, there's not much I can say about that song. Yeah. It's still,
we know the deal.
It's like, yeah, I love that song. It's, hell like, yeah, my favorite song. And then we get, Eddie starts like yelling to his bandmates, like, 5 minutes. We have 5 minutes. So all the lights come on and they kick into Rockin' in the Free World. Eddie is throwing tambourines to people in the crowd. And this show was a little different than 2016, the stage setup. Like, you could... there were people in the bleachers. Not a ton. Just a few that, like, probably knew somebody that said, yeah, go on up there. But they didn't sell seats back there. But Eddie's throwing tambourines to people in the bleachers. Wow. Where in 2016 it wouldn't have been kind of impossible. There was a lot more like equipment and shit, stage right. shit set up back there.
Sure.
But yeah, the show ended at like 10 minutes after 2, which I think the official curfew was 2 a.m.
Oh,
which
okay.
they had to get like permission from I don't know, the mayor and like the neighborhood people.
Yeah, I bet there's a bunch of shit.
Yeah, and it was crazy because like I couldn't see the stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I could see the stage. I couldn't see like the band because right. I was so far back. But it sounded really good, and they did have like the screens up. But dude, we were so far back, the screens looked small.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So, but I remember when the show ended and I would just like we were just talking about, like that place is so special to me. And there was times during the show where I would like stop watching the band and I would just scan around like the whole crowd. And that was just like really cool to see all those people in there and everyone singing, and you know, it was nuts.
Yeah,
so
that's cool, man. All right, so I know we gotta kind of wrap up and get out of here soon.
Yeah,
but I did have
there's just one more thing I want to talk about, but go ahead, we'll get to it.
No, well, is it along the lines of what we were just talking about, or is it separate?
It's just the how many songs got cut out.
Okay, that's exactly what I was about to talk about.
Okay, cool.
And ask you about. So,
okay, cool.
I mean, because there's, you know, information out there about what was on the original set list.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That would have been actual set list songs that got cut because of the rain delay were Speed of Sound, Other Side, Sleight of Hand, Man of the Hour, Daughter, Better Man, Alive, Bob O'Reilly, and Yellow Ledbetter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes. I bring this up going back to my original kind of like rant that I went on a few minutes back, talking about all the covers.
Yes.
In this set. And then to see what was on the original,
mm-hmm.
Is just another, for me, argument of like, see, these songs were on the set list. And I would have taken in even my least favorite original songs out of this cut list, I would have taken over a lot of the covers. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a prime example. Like, now, Chloe Dancer, Crown of Thorns, that's a special thing. But in this case, like, Mother, get it the fuck out of there. And I'm mm-hmm. a huge Pink Floyd fan. Give me Sleight of Hand instead. Give me Daughter instead. Give me Man of the Hour instead, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm coming from with my argument. It just kind of sucks to see all those songs that would be so cool to hear live and find out that it got
cut. I don't know. I mean,
instead of covers.
I don't know. I get most of them why they cut them. Like Yellow Ledbetter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that song, but they play it all the time. Baba O'Reilly, I mean, to me, it's like they had Baba and Rockin' in the Free World. Like, you have to cut one of those.
Yep.
So,
agreed.
So take your pick. I love both of those songs as the last song, but you gotta kill one of them. Alive, I'm like torn on that one, but I guess I could. Alive, Daughter, and Better Man, all three of those are ones that, like, you know, I could hear Eddie saying, "We play these all the time." Yep. Let's cut them.
And that's the thing. For me, it's like, I want to... Man, if I'd been there, I would want to see Sleight of Hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, I'm... Fuck, yeah,
that would have been amazing. Man of the Hour would have been... Other Side would have been amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Other Side, that really bums me out.
Yeah.
I love that song. You know? And it's not something they play very often. Anyway. Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with you, but like... If you added these songs back in, especially the encore, because I've seen the copy of the set list.
Right.
I mean, it would have been Life Wasted, Better Man, Black, Into Alive, then Baba, then Rockin', then Yellow Ledbetter. Like, that is a fucking... This would have been, like, one of the most talked about, like, greatest set lists. You know, this would be up there with if they had played all those songs. I mean, that's just like it's just insane.
Yeah.
And I think that set list, that like 40 song set list and, you know, Alive, Baba, Rockin', Yellow Ledbetter, like in that order. I think Eddie was going for like, this is the only chance. We might never play Wrigley again.
Right.
So it's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Because 40 songs is crazy.
Well, I'll say it again. Like, if I had been in that show, I would have enjoyed every fucking second of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hindsight's really easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I still kind of stand by feeling like, man, some of those songs would have been so cool. Like, why would you cut those? Why would you cut Sleight of Hand? Why would you cut Other Side to do covers that you rotate in and out of all the time? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I love the show. I love the rain delay, even though that sounds kind of weird.
No, I get it. It's a memory, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, again, it goes back to what I was saying about Bugs. Like, it was something weird and different. And to me, that's makes it more special.
Yeah.
So the only thing was that the seats we had, we were so far back.
Right.
It was just so far back. I mean, it was crazy. And that was like the worst part about the whole situation. But everything else was awesome. I love this set list. A little slow at first, but I think the rain delay had something to do with that. Because they knew the weather was coming. So. Right. But anyway.
Well, cool, man.
That was Wrigley. Thanks 2013.
Thanks for walking us through, dude.
Yeah.
That's fun. Now we'll have a couple shows to talk about together.
Yeah.
Which has never happened before, you know?
No. That's, you know what I was thinking today? Like, we kept talking on the last show about how, dude, 6 days. We're 6 days away. Like, we're 6 days away from seeing Pearl Jam, but we get to see them fucking 2 days later again.
I know.
Like, it's not just one show. We're going to see two shows.
I'm so psyched.
Like, it's yeah. Like, the first show is just a warm-up for the second show.
Yep.
So.
It's going to be awesome, dude. I'm glad I'm going to be there with you.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
It's kind of gay.
Well, maybe I am, Brad.
Maybe I am. Have I ever talked about that?
No.
Okay.
It's okay if you did, though.
Okay.
Homophobe.
Maybe I'm not.
I know. I'm kidding.
I'm not scared of them. I love the gays.
Oh, my God. I knew it. I knew we weren't going to get out of that without you fucking saying something. I was trying to, like, all right, well.
Wrap it up.
See you on the other side. Nope. Brad's got to say something. I love it. All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. Again, you can email us singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. Check us out on the socials. And hopefully, at the time of this airing, we'll have met a lot of you guys and put some faces to the names and emails that we've been reading. So I'm super psyched. That's it. We'll see you on the other side, or talk to you on the other side of Chicago. Until then.
Wait, try that again.
What did I say? God.
I was just Chicago.
Oh, sorry. I was. Never mind. Mush mouth. See you guys on the other side of Chicago, is what I was saying.
There you go.
That's what Chicago. I rushed through. Chicago.
Pizza.
How much pizza have we eaten right now?
God, I hope not too much.
It's Monday, so we've been there for like 3 days.
I've probably emotionally caved and had way too much. It's probably what's happening.
Oh, dude, I cannot fucking wait.
It's gonna be I'm pretty psyched about it. All right, until next time, I'm Brad Lyons,
and I'm Brad Blazek. Saying, I could only observe where the trouble starts, but where does it end?
Tell me where.
All right, be good.
Peace.
I died, and you just said no. I died, and you walked. I died, and you walked by and said no. I'm dead.
Ah, I was high. Fuck yeah.